Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs or Wings. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19 ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
You know, Sue, I mentioned this in the monologue. I saw this on the X, formerly Twitter. There is a, you know, Pride, the magazine. There's a magazine called Pride. I'm sure you probably subscribe to that. But if you don't, they have a Twitter site, too. And they actually have a story up there with the headline, Amid Palisades Fire. Because, of course, the fire chief and many of the officials in Los Angeles Fire Department are part of the Alphabet Mafia. So the headline was, Amid Palisades Fire, Los Angeles's first LGBTQ plus, sorry, I'm losing track of the alphabet there, is proving lesbians get it done. That's a new headline. That's from yesterday. Are you kidding me?
Good grief.
David Strom from hotair.com is back with us from Minneapolis, Minnesota, where he's probably freezing more than we are. But you wrote about that this afternoon. I mean, you can't even make that up, can you, David?
I know. Well, what's hilarious is they never actually talk about what she's doing to put the fires out. It doesn't even come up. It's really, you know, it's a perfect encapsulation of what the Alphabet Mafia thinks like. Because, you know, it's all about DEI and how wonderful it is and how historic. And look, she's in charge during this disaster. And the fact that the fires were 0% contained was irrelevant.
Yeah.
Absolutely irrelevant to them.
Well, and you know, look, a lot of people are jumping on this, and I think it's appropriate. When you have a department out there that has repeatedly focused on, you know, diversity, the first female lesbian fire chief, the goal of recording more women and gay firefighters, how about people that are just qualified to do the job and want the job, but that's not something they wanted to do, and then they wanted to cut the budget by, I guess, $18 million as well?
Oh, yeah, and in fact, I just found a new video from the assistant fire chief, who is this enormous African-American woman. And she's talking about how people need to see themselves reflected in the firefighters and how important it is. And then she's asked, well, you know, what about, you know, being able to carry a guy out of a burning building? And her answer was, well, he was in the wrong place.
What?
Yes, literally she says that. I mean, it's just one of the most stunning things. I mean, it's like, oh, I'm out there to show everybody that I'm just like them.
Oh, wait a second. I'm going to have to get that. Okay, I'm going to send that to Ethan because I had not seen that or heard that audio. So we're going to keep talking here. And before we wrap up, I'm going to have that audio because that's really something. Oh, my goodness. Now, I want you to share, I think, my favorite post, David, from the past couple of days, and there's been a lot of activity. Obviously, you've been writing about different things relating to politics and California. But I want you to share with the audience, because I teased this a couple hours ago, the story of the snail darter. This is unbelievable. It really is. Like, I had to read this thing a couple of times because now we think that this whole thing is maybe made up.
It's absolutely made up. New York Times talked to the ichthyologist, who is a you know, a fish specialist at the New York Museum of Natural History about the snail darter. And he said, well, it's just actually, you know, one of a bunch of perches that are out there. And it's not even a separate species. You know, it's had maybe different coloration or something like that. But, you know, it was supposedly discovered almost simultaneously with the passage of the Environmental Protection Agency. And there were people opposed to the building of the Tellico Dam, which is being built by the Tennessee Valley Authority. And so they latched on to this, called it a new species, and then it became a protected species. And so, you know, he looked into this and he said, well, that's not a new species at all. I mean, it's just another perch. And you could call it whatever you want, but it's just another kind of perch. I mean, it is as much a new species as, you know, an Asian is from a human being. We're all human beings. You know, we look a little bit different, but there's no fundamental genetic difference between us that actually matter.
Okay, but let me hang on. I'm going to slow down and kind of supplement what you're doing here, because this is really amazing. So under the protections, the snail darter, which now never even existed, we'll get to that, was listed as protected and triggered Section 7 of the Act, barring federal agencies from undertaking actions that could jeopardize the species survival or destroy any of its critical habitats. So they go on and they file lawsuits over this because they actually quote, a decision from 1978 where Warren Berger says that the findings of this previously unknown species of perch changed everything on a legal level. Well, then you have the modern day scientist, this guy Thomas Snear, that comes out and says, there is actually no technical snail darter, right? And worse yet, it's actually just another member of the eastern population of Perchina urinidia, or stargazing darters, which is not considered endangered. So all of this for naught.
Well, it wasn't for naught. As I pointed out, it's just another version of lawfare that the left uses all the time. They invent things, use the courts, push some sort of fiction, use the courts to get what they want. I mean, it's just sort of a version of what they did to Trump, in New York. They completely invent something out of thin air, and they're able, through an activist court system, to impose what you and I would think is illegitimately the solution that they want. And, you know, if you think about it, I mean, this is the same thing as changing, you know, what gender and sex means. And, you know, they do this all the time. They redefine words. They say the words are what we say they are, just as they completely redefine the species. But it's the same thing as, I mean, how is that different than saying that there's such a thing as non-binary or transgender or whatever?
Right. No, it plays. Yeah, that's the same. It's the same playbook, and I'm glad that you pointed that out. And by the way, in the Tellico case, the dam was eventually built, and then they took the snail darter that never existed off of the list of species. But that's just an amazing story. And then you write about that on hotair.com. How many people can actually write about that and show the truth of what happened here with the snail darter? I know Jonathan Turley was out there tweeting about it, but it is fascinating. Hey, I have the all right, let's listen. This is Kristen Larson, and you said she's the assistant chief.
Yep.
I got to hear this. Here we go, David.
You want to see somebody that responds to your house, your emergency, whether it's a medical call or a fire call, that looks like you. It gives that person a little bit more ease, knowing that somebody might understand their situation better. Is she strong enough to do this? Or, you couldn't carry my husband out of a fire, which my response is, he got himself in the wrong place if I have to carry him out of a fire.
What? I thought they're supposed to save people. I thought life and, you know, safety was their priority, but apparently not.
It really is. But, I mean, if you think about it, this is exactly the priority set that the left has. I mean, just as if you look, they cut $17, $18 million out of the fire department, and they put it into things like a gay men's choir. and DEI training. I mean, that's literally what they did. They took it out of basic services and they put it into ideological BS. And that's how they think. That's what they think is important. You know, if a white man dies in a fire, he was in the wrong place. Doesn't he understand we need to have a gay men's choir?
You can't make it up. And it's just all of this is kind of coming home. The chickens are coming home to roost, if you will. Now, I got to share this on the topic of the fires. I played a little of this earlier. This is amazing when you think about it. Joe Rogan on his podcast months ago talking about the possibility of something like this happening.
I talked to a fireman once. This is one of the reasons it freaked me out. And he was telling me, he goes, dude, one day, he goes, it's just going to be the right wind and fire is going to start in the right place and it's going to burn through LA all the way to the ocean. And there's not a thing we can do about it. I go, really? He goes, yeah, we just get lucky. He goes, we get lucky with the wind. He goes, but if the wind hits the wrong way, it's just going to burn straight through LA and there's not going to be a thing we can do about it. Because these fires are so big, dude. When they're talking about like thousands of acres that are burning simultaneously with like 40-mile-an-hour winds.
Yeah, and now we got 99-mile-an-hour winds. So, but that's an interesting situation. So everybody knew that this was possible. I don't know about everybody, but certainly officials had to know because of the wind situation that you would have, you know, more severe fires. But this question of resources and where Gavin Newsom put them and where Karen Bass put them, David, it's going to be interesting to see as these people try to rebuild what the messaging will be there.
Well, I mean, that's absolutely true. And actually, I wrote about this. Donald Trump spent 7 minutes when he was sitting down talking to Joe Rogan about exactly this issue.
Yep, that's right. I played some of that audio yesterday. Yeah.
It's just shocking. And so Donald Trump, who's not even trying to get the electoral votes of California because he'll never get them, is still more worried about what's going to happen in California than the people who run the state.
Yep.
It's just amazing. You cannot overestimate the stupidity and corruption of the left.
I just wonder if the people of California, who, by the way, voted to overturn that nonsense that, you know, decriminalized stealing anything under $900. I just wonder if the people of California, after this election, after that nonsense, are finally going to be onto these jokers.
Well, if you look, everything east of the coast has gone red. And even some of those coastal cities moved rightward. The real electoral problem that I think they have in these cities, not necessarily in the state, but in these cities, is that the public employees unions, they're so large that probably 30-40% of the vote that's actually for mayor and city council, those are public employees who are voting for their own benefit.
Yep. I think you're right about
that. So it's going to be very hard to overturn San Francisco, L.A., although L.A., there's real possibility because they almost got Caruso for mayor last time around.
Well, and he seems to be campaigning already because he's been very critical of the administration and what's happening this week. David Strom from HotAir.com is here. You're up in Minneapolis, in the Minneapolis area. I've highlighted this just a little bit. Liz Collin has been a guest on my show, and I've recommended the fall of Minneapolis to my audience many, many times. But there's some interesting Derek Chauvin news this week, David. I want you to highlight that for my audience.
Oh, this is very important, and it's something that if you had watched the fall of Minneapolis, you already knew. But Minneapolis police officials at the highest levels committed perjury in court. They just simply lied. And now there are over a dozen Minneapolis police officers who have signed affidavits that are part of the appeal for Chauvin. Just laying it on the line. And you could even see photographs of the training where the technique that Chauvin used was trained. And they said that wasn't the case. There's even a photograph of the deputy chief who testified using that technique to arrest someone. And so she went in front of the court and said, we never trained this. And there she is in a photograph using the technique.
Wow.
And you have 14 current and former officers with the Minneapolis Police Department have signed sworn declarations that they say they believe that Assistant Chief Katie Blackwell lied, perjured herself when testifying.
Absolutely. And there's a very simple reason for this. Outside that courtroom, there were hundreds of protesters every day screaming no justice, no peace. They made it very clear that they were ready to riot again. And so they basically threw Siobhan to the wolves. And, you know, for those of us who are following the trial very closely, as I did because I live here, it was obvious that they were going to do this. And it wasn't just the Siobhan. There were four officers.
Right. But, David, all you have to do, this is what I tell people all the time, watch the first 5 to 10 minutes of the fall of Minneapolis, and you're going to have a completely different perspective on what happened.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the original autopsy, didn't even say that he died by homicide. That was changed afterwards. The coroner says there was no political pressure, but obviously there was political pressure. I mean, George Floyd had, fatal levels of methamphetamines and fatal levels of fentanyl in his system. And he did that because he swallowed his drug stash when the police confronted him.
And in the moment they confront him, by the way, even when he's still in the convenience store, this is amazing that this was never really shown, because the legacy media could have shown this video easily, but they never did. Where he starts saying, "I can't breathe, I can't breathe," well before he's on that curb with Siobhan.
Oh, absolutely. And in fact, it was the technique that he used. He did, there's video of him in two other encounters with the police saying exactly the same thing. And so, the panic, the "I can't breathe," all of that was a calculated technique. And we know that. I mean, it's not difficult to see this, because you see him using it multiple times, because there's, of course, body cam video from all his police interactions, because he had a lot of interactions with police. And, that is how he manipulated police officers.
But
and so
is there a realistic chance, though, that with all of this that's coming out now, that he may be? I mean, I don't even know what the end goal is. Is it a new trial? Is it, some sort of I don't know. What's the end goal here? Possibility. Legally?
I haven't followed the legal side of this over the past couple years, so I don't know. I mean, the big problem he has is he was convicted on federal civil rights charges, but the big conviction was at the state level. And the attorney general, Keith Ellison, who was a member of Antifa, personally prosecuted him, and he's still the attorney general. And so obviously he's going to fight like mad and use every bit of power that he has to keep Siobhan in jail. And if there is a successful appeal, that would probably just mean a retrial. And I don't know how that would turn out, but it's in Minneapolis, which is not a good place.
Hey, did I also see, and again, I've had Liz Collin on the show many times, and she's great. Is she being sued by Katie Blackwell, who was the assistant chief?
Yes.
For what?
Yes. For defamation.
Okay.
Which is, quite the stretch. And that is actually one of the places all this new stuff came out, because they were responding to the lawsuit, right, and it was just bombshell after bombshell after bombshell.
And Liz took her camera and she chased down that Katie Blackwell, and basically she's not worried about any lawsuit. She's chasing down that assistant chief saying, "Hey, do you have any comment here about this stuff, about people lying and that you lied?"
Yeah. Well, Liz Collins is great. And, she used to be, she's one of the refugees from the so-called mainstream media. She used to work for a broadcast station here.
Right.
And like many, reporters out there who just got sick of the lies and the propaganda. You know, she's now in exile.
Yeah.
She's sort of in the Barry Weiss camp, you know, the independent people, Catherine Herridge, people like that who actually want to be journalists.
Yeah.
And
well, I think that space is growing, and she is good at it. And that space is growing a little bit, too. And one of the reasons I like Hot Air, because you guys do a lot of that, too. David Schramm, Happy New Year to you. Great to hook up with you. We'll talk soon.
All right. Great talking to you.
Take care.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, here's some good news, Sue. Tomorrow is Friday. Despite more snow in the forecast, the weekend is just about here. We got a Reardon Roundtable tomorrow. We've got a great panel set up. Jane will be here. A lot of stuff to talk about, not only the fires and what's happening nationally. We have, obviously, some interesting things in Washington. But then our story about the mayor here, Tish, and Kim Gardner's in the news. Sam Page is in the news. It's going to be a good roundtable. Jane, State Rep Steve Butch, and former St. Louis County Councilman and St. Louis County Police Chief Tim Fitch all here. Plus, Cusimano with sports at 4:45. There's a new documentary out that's fantastic. It's on Netflix. It's called Norman's Rare Guitars, about this little guitar shop in L.A. And David Dillmore, who's the director, that's going to join us in the 5 o'clock hour tomorrow. I saw this guy, our next guest, on Fox last night doing a great job, as he always does. Steve Malloy, former Trump-Pence EPA transition team member, founder of JunkScience.com. You're having to straighten a lot of people out here this week with the climate change nonsense. How are you, Steve?
I'm doing great, Mark. How are you?
Happy New Year. Well, Happy New Year to you. So here we are, you know, already in just amazing devastation. We've been talking about this the last few days, and we've had one of our contributors who's a native here in St. Louis, Brian Ping, who's on CanX in Los Angeles, and Dave Murray, our meteorologist, lives out there in Laguna Beach. So the devastation, Steve, we've never seen really anything like this, but immediately they go to climate change, right?
Well, yeah, I think climate change is the go-to camouflage for, you know, governments grew up, particularly Democrat governments grew up. You'll remember that in August 2023, we had horrific wildfires just blow through Maui, and the first thing the government did was blame climate change, and when it was really the government's fault for not warning people, not being prepared. And guess what? That same thing happened again. The government failed to warn people. Warn them well enough, and then, you know, when they came to fight the fires, there was no water in the fire hydrants. Of course, the brush is overgrown because, you know, in California, you can't clean up brush, and it's just a total man-made disaster.
So when, you know, I have this secret hope, and there's a lot of things that they need to settle, and people are, you know, homeless and all those things. But in the end here, I'm almost wondering if this is not a real opportunity for a conversation about how much they screwed up. Gavin Newsom, whether it's him or Karen Bass or the federal government with this nonsense. Look, we pointed this out in the previous segment. Trump was just on Joe Rogan's podcast a couple of months ago, essentially predicting some of this stuff.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've been asked that question a couple times today already. And I think the answer is no, they're not going to learn anything. California in recent years has had huge wildfires, and they're all, you know, basically caused by, for the same reason, just land management neglect. They know this stuff's going to happen. They've allowed it to happen, and then they don't learn anything from it. So I think, you know, even though, like, all these people that lived in Pacific Palisades are all rich, liberal Democrats, they've, you know, fund all these campaigns for Democrats. Have they learned anything? Are they going to, you know, vote out Karen Bass and Gavin Newsom? No, I think they're going to keep them. And you know, of course, the federal taxpayer is going to have to come in and bail these people out. Of course, we can't really afford to do that anymore. You know, we can't bail out millionaires in their homes. I mean, this is just crazy.
Well, and I do think that some of that is going to be at play, right? What do you know about one of the things I saw today? Maybe this was from you, Steve, because I follow you and I retweet some of your stuff. But in 2014, they voted on something out there called Proposition 1, which directed billions and billions of dollars for like infrastructure for water storage and reservoirs. And they haven't built one of those things in 10 years, 11 years?
Yeah, so 10 years ago, there was a referendum and voters said, you know, we want more water storage, and they ponied up the money for it. But Gavin Newsom hasn't built any of it. And of course, this piggybacks on the fact that, you know, California flushes 100 billion gallons of water into the Pacific Ocean every year to save the Delta smelt versus sending it south to not only the San Joaquin Valley for agriculture, but also to cities in Southern California because they need water. Then you have the situation where, you know, the water tanks around, like, the Palisades were, you know, very small 3 million gallon tanks. It sounds like a lot, but it's not. You know, they have no ability to take water out of the ocean to put fires out. It's just the whole thing. It's just this government catastrophe. I mean, can you imagine living in the Palisades thinking that, oh, I've got a fire hydrant in front of my house, I'm going to be okay? No, yeah. These people trusted the government. The government let them down again. And this is just like it was in Hawaii. And no one in the government has been held responsible for what happened in Maui. It's not gonna, you know, again, it's not going to happen. Democrats will just vote for the same people.
Yeah, and then, you know, at the same time all this is happening, you already have people, and I know that you tweeted this out, like Philip Bump and some of these idiots from the Washington Post and beyond, you know, already writing columns about how with Trump back in, his, you know, archaic climate politics return. This is where I kind of go back to my question about the common sense, because I think people in the election are kind of onto a lot of this stuff, and maybe Trump is the right person to really explain to the American people how many mistakes we've made along these lines. Because a lot of people, Steve, they don't know. They don't, you know, they're people that aren't paying attention to the news and following shows like this or follow you on Twitter. So a lot of people are just in the dark about it.
So, as you know, I follow this stuff pretty closely. It's my sense now that the wheels are coming off this climate hoax. And it's one of the reasons that President Trump feels so free. He basically campaigned on climate being a hoax. Anytime it came up, that's what he would say. And these guys like Bump in the Washington Post, you know, saying that this is Trump's policy. What's he talking about? Trump doesn't cause the Santa Ana winds. Trump doesn't cause brush not to be cleaned up. Whatever the spark was, Trump didn't cause that. I mean, it's crazy stuff. Yeah, and I've seen all kinds of nutty stuff from the left today. You know, this climate thing is just, it's in its last throes. I think Trump is going to drive the stake through his heart, and we can move on.
Steve, one of the things that I've heard people say, and I saw you correct a couple, there have been people saying that, you know, one of the things that's really bad about this is that these wildfires are, you know, throwing all these emissions into the air, even worse than some of the CO2 from cars, et cetera. But you're saying that's not true, right?
Are you talking about the conventional emissions, like particulate stuff like that? Oh, yeah, the air quality stuff. Yeah, the air quality is ugly, no question about that, but it's not a health risk. And I'm not talking about people who are, you know, who are getting smoke inhalation. Okay, that's bad.
Yeah.
But just, you know, the stuff that's in the air, the chemicals, the trace levels of chemicals in the air and the particulate matter, yeah, none of that stuff is going to hurt anybody. That's just basic air quality. I've got a whole book on this called Scare Pollution. Everyone likes to be afraid of toxics in the air, but of course, the stuff's not toxic. There's going to be no asthma. No one's going to die. Nothing is going to happen from all this stuff.
One of the things, before I let you go, I want to guide people in. If you don't follow Steve, it's at Junk Science. And there was this satellite video that you posted yesterday on the X, formerly Twitter, that basically, it's just kind of amazing. It shows the winds. It looks like somebody drew this, you know, as a cartoon, but it shows the fires. You can kind of see them burning and the winds blowing all the smoke out to the ocean. And that's incredible. We're going to see a lot of probably before and after pictures from satellites as well. But that really put things into perspective, how powerful this was.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, the winds are constantly changing, right? I mean, so it blows the fire all over the place. But, you know, for that one satellite picture, I thought it was really interesting, just blowing all the smoke out to the ocean. You could see how strong the wind was. It was really interesting. It was a NOAA video from a NOAA satellite.
It's incredible. It really is. But I'll tell you, I've seen a lot of things that I've thought have been incredible, not in all good ways, because this devastation is something else. Oh, Steve Malloy, thank you so much. Keep on him, Steve.
Yep,
all right.
Angel,
yep, take care. We got audio cut of the day coming up here in just a couple of minutes on 97.1 FM Talk. I'm going to squeeze one more guest in, too, because there is a CNN defamation trial that's not getting a lot of attention, but it's a big one. And a Free Beacon reporter named Jessica Kotsku is going to join us next. Big show tomorrow because it's Friday. That means a Reardon Roundtable. Jane will be on the panel. State Representative Steve Butch, Tim Fitch. We have so much to talk about. I mean, it's almost one of those days, Sue, where you need like a two-hour roundtable.
Yeah, no kidding.
We won't do that because then that would preempt Sue's News. We can't have that, especially on a Friday. But one of the stories that I have not touched this week and that I will not probably address on the roundtable because we have so much, but I'm fascinated by it and I'm keeping an eye on it. There's a big, big defamation suit against CNN that's going on in court. And Jessica Kotsku, I hopefully didn't massacre her name, is with the Free Beacon covering this. Hi, Jessica. Welcome to 97.1 FM Talk. How are you?
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I'm good. How are you?
Good. Give the audience sort of the synopsis of what this case is all about, and then we can get to some of the testimony this week, because I've been watching some of it from that courtroom. But what is this all about? How did this happen?
Yeah, no, there's a lot happening. The trial started on Monday, and it's actually expected to go until next Friday. So this is a two-week trial that's happening. And the whole case is basically surrounding this segment that CNN aired. It was specifically their anchor, Jake Tapper, back in 2021. So as Afghanis were trying to evacuate the country, as you know, the U.S. pulled out and the Taliban was taken over, the plaintiff, Zachary Young, he's the one that's suing, he was working to get people out of Afghanistan. And when that segment aired, there's a lot to the case, but when that segment aired, they painted him as this illegal, you know, he was working, they used the word black market, said he was working, you know, it was like a black market, asking for exorbitant fees from Afghanis
only
that,
in it
you know,
for
did
himself.
Not have.
Yes, like they played him off as only in it for himself for financial gain, right?
Right, exactly. When, you know, there's so many things that actually didn't happen and so many text messages, private text messages that are coming out now with CNN reporters, how he, you know, he was only given 2 hours to respond to questions about the story that would be going out. And, you know, 2 hours was not enough for him to answer all these questions. And he told them that you have inaccuracies in your story. And if you do go forward with this story and you publish my name, because him remaining anonymous and not having his name out there was key for him to doing these operations for big corporations. He was never evacuating Afghanis. He was never taking $15,000 from Afghanis because they can't afford it. I mean, no Afghani has $15,000 to evacuate. He was contracted through Bloomberg, through the company Audible, to get these people out, and yeah.
So he's suing for $1 billion. He's in court in Florida. He testified. I was watching some of his testimony. The you know, the defendant's attorney, the CNN attorneys, are trying to beat him up pretty good. Do you have a sense of how this trial is going right now? Because obviously these are tough cases because there's a high threshold here on defamation, I think.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think I've heard of this before, but Zachary Young, the plaintiff, he testified for 3 days straight. It finally ended today around 3-2 p.m. So now he's done. But he testified for three days. The cross examination ended early this morning. What CNN tried to do today, the attorney in charge tried to do today, was there was this one contract that he had signed, because one of the main things that he's suing over, right, with the defamation, is that he has now, there's a loss of income. So he has testified that since that CNN segment aired in November of 2021, he has not made any money. Mm-hmm. He has not been able to find employment because he works in intelligence. Now he's made it known today during the trial that he is a CIA agent. Isn't anymore. I'm not sure. I think he still has a security clearance, but I'm also not You know, that's why this case is so complex, because a lot of these questions that the defendant's attorney is asking is really classified information, and so he can't really answer a lot of the things.
You know, some of this, so Jake Tapper never, ever apologized to this. He referred to, Fox News when a lot of this stuff was happening as a cancer on the democracy that we have, and accused Fox News of abrogating its grave responsibility to be fair and honest. Meantime, they're beating up on this kid. Now, eventually, CNN removes the term black market from the version of the segment that was online, and they issue an apology that acknowledges that he hadn't broken the laws, but they didn't acknowledge all the other stuff.
Right, right. And I mean, the defense attorney is very much still going forward with that claim during the opening arguments for CNN. The attorney stated that everything in that report was accurate. And I mean, you know, I guess the jury will have to deliberate next week and they'll decide. But a lot of the evidence shows that, you know, the CNN just did not do its duty to do accurate reporting. You know, Young told the CNN reporter, there was two of them that reached out to him about the story. He told them that you have inaccurate information. You need to hold off on this. Like this, he was telling them this is not true. And then, you know, during the segment that they aired in November, they used some sort of testimony from two Afghanis that were trying to leave the country. Those two individuals, those Afghanis, had nothing to do with Zachary Young. Nothing to do. He had never spoken to them. He doesn't know who they are. So
it's amazing. Really, you know, and I heard his testimony. I thought he was very good on the stand. But, you know, they were trying to go at him in any way, shape or form. It will be fascinating. Is it also true, Jessica, that there was a settlement offer from CNN, but he turned it down because he wanted to go to trial?
Yes, I'm not sure how much it was. I think they kind of lowballed it from my understanding.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't think there was really any way that whatever sort of settlement they were going to provide, it was not going to be enough. I mean, you know, he testified that he has not made any money since 2021. And, you know, he's suing for defamation of his own reputation, but also pretty much the destruction of his own personal company. He had a company that he was, you know, doing all this sort of all these evacuations. It was kind of sort of like a defense intelligence thing.
And it ruined it.
And, you know, he hasn't made any money for three, now going on 4 years. This trial has been 2.5 years in the making. So
unbelievable. Jessica Kosescu, thank you so much. You think then a week left, it goes to the jury by next weekend would be the anticipation?
Yes. The judge, before the case was dismissed today, I think jury deliberation is going to happen sometime on Thursday going into Friday. So definitely this will be over by next Friday. And I'm, you know, I'll be in there.
Keep us posted.
Until the very end.
Yeah, it's really fascinating. Again, kind of undercovered nationally just because of the news cycle. But Jessica, good work. Thank you so much.
Yes, of
course.
All right,
take
care. It's going to set a press.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
Oh, I did not mean to cut her off like that. We had to move to audio cut of the day. And let me just start with this just because there's a little nostalgia involved. So you remember this? Oh, no!
I do, but it's not a
good
memory.
How about this?
Oh.
No, that didn't work either. Man, I'll tell you, this is not my day. This is not my day with any of these things. No, it's not working, Ethan. It's just not working. It's doing that. So that kind of fails. Let's see. What can I use here? How about this?
Look at this. Everything is on fire.
5, 6, 8, 10 houses in our neighborhood just gone like that.
Never seen anything like this. Oh my gosh.
Everybody's trying to get out.
Yeah, just some of the terrible scenes that people are looking at in the aftermath of these fires. But this was interesting. We played this one time. I'm going to qualify this for audio cut of the day because the other part I was going to try to play you was the orange juice commercial that Anita Bryant did in the late 1970s.
Oh my gosh.
Because she died today.
Oh,
remember
I didn't
Anita
know that.
Bryant?
I do. From those commercials.
Right. And then she did the song Paper Roses.
Yeah, I don't remember.
And she hated gay people. That was basically what she was known for.
All right.
But here's the situation where Gavin Newsom's on the scene in Pacific Palisades, and this woman goes up and starts shouting him down.
Governor, you got a second?
No.
Governor, I live here, Governor. That was my daughter's school, Governor. Please tell me what you're going to do. I'm not going to hurt him. I promise.
I'm literally talking to the president right now. to specifically answer the question of what we can do for you and your daughter.
Can I hear it? Can I hear your call? Because I don't believe it.
I'm sorry. There's literally, I've tried five times. That's why I'm walking around to make the
call.
Why
is the president not taking your call?
Because it's not going through.
So. All right. Well, then that might be legitimate because she's saying, why is he not taking the call? And he's trying to make the case, well, it's not going through right now, but she doesn't give up.
I have to get cell service.
So let's get it. Let's get it. I want to be here when you call the president.
I appreciate it. I'm doing that right now. And it's to immediately get reimbursements, individual assistance, and to help you. I'm devastated for you. I'm so sorry, especially for your daughter. I have four kids losing
the school. Everyone who went to school there, they lost their homes. They lost two homes because they were living in one and building another. Governor, please tell me, what are you going to do with the president right now?
We're getting the resources to help rebuild.
Why was there no water in the hydrants, Governor?
That's all literally.
Is it going to be different next time?
It has to be. Has to be. Of course.
Let's just start with, why are there no water in the hydrants?
Yeah.
Let's kind of dial in on that little nugget right there and see if we can build and get some answers for the people of California. But this is going to go on tonight. The winds are a lot lighter. That doesn't mean these fires are over. They're a little bit more contained than yesterday. The Palisades fire still running a little rampant. We'll have much more in a roundtable tomorrow. Sue, have a great night.
You too.
Get more at 971talk.com.